Friday, May 2nd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 11, listening to part 2 of the message titled, Holy Violence in the Kingdom of God.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, a lot of people want the kingdom to come by force. And a lot of people want the kingdom to come violently. They wanted the figure to come and take the kingdom by storm and violence that energized them, that excited them. And I believe Christ is saying, yep, you've missed the true violence.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
So John is confused himself about this. When he hears about Christ, it doesn't make sense to him. John expected immediate judgment. John expected the strength of the kingdom to come in Christ at that moment. John expected it to be dealt with in Christ, not himself. Well, Jesus is doing stuff that doesn't make sense. So he sends his disciples in front of the crowds. John's disciples walk up and they ask, "Are you the one?" The people have thought John was just a reed now shaken in the wind. He's fickle. He doesn't even know who the Messiah is. In a moment, he became nothing. It's interesting that in front of the people, Jesus says, "Go tell John this. I want you to go back and I want you to tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, the good news preached to them. Go tell them that, and then say this, and blessed is he who's not offended by me." That last line. That last line, huh? He just said, "John, remember what Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah prophesied the acceptable year of the Messiah, that the gospel would be preached before the judgment, and that tells you that the kingdom of God has come." What awesome things were being shown. What awesome things were being said about the kingdom. He's healing people. Now think about this. He's healing people. He's forgiving people. He's preaching good news. He's preaching forgiveness. And then Jesus says, after all that, blessed is he who's not offended. Why would he have to say that? Why would that cause offense? That's the startling aspect of this. Even to this day, you know our culture. In our highly tense political moment, if Pastor Gordon became obnoxious, you might say I am, but I don't think I am, so that's what matters, right? If Pastor Gordon became obnoxious and made threats against the government and taught you all to rebel against Governor Newsom and to be men, and he used the language of Galatians 5 that promoted dissensions, rivalries, these kind of things against the government. You know, I think we'd get a lot of people in here. You might not want those kind of people, but I think that's what would happen. You could amass great interest right now. You could play this really well right now. I could play it. I think I'm smart enough to do it. But it wouldn't be honest, would it? I'd be playing a game with people. Forgiveness? You stay consistent with a message of forgiveness? You forgive your greatest of enemies? You love those who do bad, evil things to you? You pray for the worst of them? You want your worst enemy to come to faith? You want to heal the defiled? Nope. No way. It's not exciting. Blessed is he who's not offended by me. See? This is not what they wanted. They wanted the coming of the kingdom. They wanted judgment now. On all sides. It doesn't matter. On all sides. They wanted somebody by violence to come. Now listen, and take the kingdom by force. Hold that thought. He's going to address that. But the evidence that the kingdom has come was the evidence of good news of the gospel. But here's what was being said. The Son of Man is a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That is not what we need right now. That's not our idea of the kingdom. How sad. I mean, just how sad, right? They had no understanding of what they needed. Now, before we get to their response to all this and how Jesus characterizes it, he wanted to clarify the nature of the kingdom just for a minute. This is good. It's as if to say, let's talk about John just for a second. Let me raise this figure, John, for a second. I've got something to say about John. As John's disciples go away, Jesus addresses the crowds. I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Did I send out a man in that kind of soft, effeminate garb? You think he's fickle? You think he's weak because he's in prison? What'd you hear? That's what I want to talk to you about. Was he a reed shaken by the wind? What does that mean? Did he go like this in ministry? You should know what this is. It's very important because you can do this in ministry. What do the people want? Put up your finger. Lick it, see which way the wind's blowing, and give a message that panders to everyone. They'll love you for it. Did you get that? No, no, no. He wasn't playing with emotions. He wasn't attempting to gain a following. He wasn't a revolutionary. You saw his clothing. The clothing he wore said he has backbone, not soft clothing. You see all kinds of people today who will follow you for visions of grandeur. You see, what Jesus wants to draw out here is a direct line from John to him. Meaning, you saw a prophet and you heard what he had to say. And what did he have to say? He had to say a lot about Malachi, didn't he? He was fulfilling Malachi. He was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. And what was he fulfilling? Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way before you. He was preaching repentance. He was preaching the road to my arrival. He was preparing the way for me. And you didn't listen to him because you're not coming to me. That's what he's saying. And then Jesus says, and those who come to me are in a much better position than John because they see the kingdom. John pointed the way to me. Now, I think we come to one of the most important verses in our text now. Confusing for many years. Not that I have unsolved all the challenge of it here, but I do think there's something interesting going on with this next verse. Look at verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that mean? Well, a lot of people want the kingdom to come by force, and a lot of people want the kingdom to come violently. It's interesting, isn't it? My thought is, this is a major moment in sarcasm. They wanted the figure to come and take the kingdom by storm and violence that energized them, that excited them. And I believe Christ is saying, yep, you've missed the true violence, if you will. Since John came until now, you've seen holy violence and you've missed it. The violent do take it by force. How so? There are people who have heard, and there are people who are entering the kingdom of God with all they can. They've sold everything for it. They found a pearl of great price and sold everything for it. They have been willing to count the cost. They have accepted. Remember last time he said, I don't think I've come to bring peace but sword. They've accepted the sword I brought. What is the sword of the kingdom? Division. Oh, there's holy violence going on. You want to know what it looks like? They are willing to love me more than father and mother. They are willing to love me more than son or daughter. They are willing to take up their cross and follow me. That's holy violence. That's taking the kingdom by storm. This was Thomas Watson's view of it. Oh, they're violent. Yes, they're violent. You see, many in the crowds, after hearing John and hearing Jesus, did nothing but refuse and resist him. That's all they did. And they never thought they needed to repent and believe. So they would not take possession of the kingdom. They would not come to Jesus for rest. They would not bow to him as king. They were always displeased with the king and the kingdom. So he's dividing them. And as his sword is striking them, they don't even know it. There's violence of the kingdom. It's separating. And Jesus says he is the Elijah to come. He is the end of the law and the prophets who all anticipated my arrival. Here I am. Okay. Now, to close this out today, I think we come to one of the most fascinating sections of Scripture. Verse 16, but to what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. This is really powerful. Do you understand it? I didn't. I had spent a lot of time on it to get it in the context. I hope you're with me. Here's how it goes. You have been absolutely childish in your whole approach to the kingdom of God. Here's what you've been like. A message has been given to you all these years. Prophet after prophet has come, and now I'm in front of you, the very preachers of the kingdom of God, all these prophets culminating with John, and you are like children down at the Escondido marketplace. We have one of those little market days. Imagine the children buzzing around out there, all in a group. This is what you're like. They say, hey, let's play dance for a while. Yeah! Let's play wedding. Let's play a wedding. We'll all be the groom. And the little girl says, I'll be the bride. And somebody says, I'll be the best man. And I'll be the maid of honor. And then we'll be the crowd. And somebody pops up and says, that's dumb. I don't want to play that. The music's no good. Okay, say the children. Well, then let's play funeral. We'll sing a dirge. One would think they would have liked the marriage music better, right? I'll play the dead person. We'll have casket bearers, pallbearers. And then we'll all walk and we'll march and we'll bring the dead person to the cemetery. That's dumb. And a big fight breaks out. And some walk away. And one says, well, I'm so confused. You don't want to play wedding. And you don't want to play funeral. What do you want to do? And you see, beloved, that captures just what they thought about the ministries of John and the ministry of Jesus. The religious leader and the people were never satisfied. They were always complaining. The gospel of the kingdom was being preached to them, and it wasn't good enough. They were ready to leave the church. Forgiveness of sins was being announced to them. Nah. Healing and helping people was happening. And the song wasn't good enough. Because they're not taking the kingdom by violence and force. They hate Christ. They hate his disciples. They would take the Padres game by force rather than the kingdom of God. And so it goes to this day. There are people who are never satisfied with the church and the ministry. Never. And if you ask them what they want, they don't even know. It doesn't matter. Nothing about the way of the kingdom of God interests them. Because of yet, they have yet to take the message into their own hearts. Listen, this is it. And see that he's calling them to repentance. To believe. To receive. So there it is. You all loved hearing John in the heyday of his enthusiasm. You could bring in a great preacher with a great... I'm Scottish, but I don't have the accent, right? You could bring in the great preacher with a Scottish accent who would... You'd hear him for... The place would be packed morning and evening for maybe a month. Until you realize he was calling you to repentance. See, this is what he's saying. Till the newness died off. They were all excited about John, but then it changed when they realized the kingdom was not coming the way that they wanted it to come. And John came neither eating nor drinking. He was playing funeral music for them. You see? He was playing funeral music for them. He has a demon, they said. You notice that at the end of this? That's not how it first went. But then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, celebrating with who? Tax collectors and sinners. He's singing the marriage song. The Lamb. Wow, he's sitting with the worst of sinners. He's forgiving sinners. He's the groom come for his bride. And they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Anything they could to avoid entering the kingdom. And Jesus says, wisdom's justified. Did you notice that? By her deeds. What about here? Why are we coming? For what reason? Mercy? Is that enough? Is forgiveness of sins great? Who wants to leave and why? You want a better song? That's not what it's about. Come on. That's not what it's about. Wisdom is shown by those who take the kingdom by storm, who recognize and answer, what a privilege it is to be a part of this. I'm counted worthy to follow Christ. The greatest news, the kingdom, is he's taken his authority and he reigns. And you see, in the next section, beloved, woes are about to be pronounced. Those who refuse the Christ, great woes are coming. But here's the marvel in Israel. Even after all this rejection of Israel, how does this section end? Verse 28. But come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Wow. Why would you refuse that? What else do you want? You see? The kingdom of God has come. Take it by storm. Come get it. Come get it. When you come to Christ, you enter. You enter the narrow gate. He'll never cast you out. The kingdom of heaven does indeed suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. This way, that Christ would extend his arms to tax collectors and sinners like this, like me, this is a marvel. That we get to receive his word of reconciliation. Well, we could do nothing else in our hearts then but to receive that word, believe that word, because he desires to show you mercy and not judgment. What a God. What a King. What a kingdom. Enter it. Receive it. And let peace come on you, listen, and your household. It's not been there. Then enter it. It's beautiful. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this marvelous text. Thank you for showing us what happened in Israel. May we be people who are believing and receiving this kingdom, taking it by storm. Thank you for such a gift of Christ in the gospel being announced, that he dines with tax collectors and sinners. They are us. God, be merciful to us sinners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Well, that will do it for today, as we're all out of time. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you join us next time for our continued studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may God's abounding grace be with you. Learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email, that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback, or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.